We continue today with lesson number 84 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos Maseches Kelim. We are in the 20th perek, the 6th and 7th Mishnah. The 7th Mishnah is the last Mishnah of the 20th perek. So when we finish today's lesson, we will have finished the 20th perek. As I explained to you, Prokim 11 to 20 constitute Maseches Bava Metzia, the middle section of Maseches Kelim. So when we finish today's lesson, Perek 20, we will have finished Bava Metzia, and we have then finished two-thirds of the Masechta. Bava Basra begins with Perek 21 tomorrow. So we're in Mishnah, Perek Chof, Mishnah Vav, and Mishnah Zayin. Mishnah Vav, Sodin. Person has a sheet, a bed sheet. A bed sheet is designed for someone to sleep upon it. So, of course, a bed sheet is Mekabel Kumas Medras. And the Mishnah says, Sodin Shehu Tumei Medras. If you have a Sodin, a sheet, which is susceptible to Tumas Medras, and then you take the sheet and make out of it a vilon. A vilon can be translated either as a curtain or as a sail, S-A-I-L, for a boat. But let's imagine it to be a curtain. So you take the sheet, vaso vilon, and you make it into a curtain. No, a curtain is not designed for shchiva. You don't sleep on a curtain. So vaso vilon tohor min hamedras. Now, it's not susceptible to Tumas Midras. It's no longer a sadin. It's now a vilon. Aval tome tume meis. But it is still mekabel Tumas meis because it's still considered a beged. Don't think because it's a curtain, so now it's part of the wall. Because curtains are still considered begodim. The Gemara says in Maseches Beyo, Daf Yudalad Amid Beis, that the reason why a curtain is not considered a wall but is still considered a beged is because the shamosh, the maid or the servant, the servant's a little cold, so he takes the curtain, picks it up from the ground, and wraps it around himself, and now, lo and behold, it's now a little cloak for a temporary time. But it's quite common to use the curtains for other things besides walls. So tumas medris, it loses, but it's still mekabel tumas meis, tumas sheretz, etc. May emosai hi tohoroso. At which point, has to happen to transform this sadin, this sheet, into a vilon? Can you just say, no more sadin, now you're a vilon? No, because that's only machshava, and you can't remove the status of a fabric from sheet to curtain merely by designation, by thought, by specification, by words. You have to do a maisa. You have to do an action. So what action transforms the sadin into a vilon? Me'imasahi tohoroso. And if it wasn't a vilon, it's no longer metame tumas medras. Ve'shamayomrim mi she yitover. There are various pishotim here. We'll follow the following approach, which is based upon the Tosefta in Maseches Kelim. Mishi Yitover means, from the word Tevira, the broken. It's related to the word Shevira, meaning, according to Beis Shammai, the only way to remove the status of Midras from a Sadin is if you do a Maaseh Rav, you really do something significant in order to change it into a Vilon, meaning you tear the sheet and you trim it and cut it and shape it to fit the door, to fit the window, etc. Then, after such significant action, Mishi Yitover, then and only then is it no longer a sadin but becomes a vilon and is not mekabel tumas medrash. That is the opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel, Omrim Mishi Yikosher. All that's necessary is a small maisa. You don't have to tear the sadin and cut it and trim it and shape it. But once you tie on the loops that you're going to use to suspend it from the pole, the curtain rod, Once you do that, you add these loops. No, it's no longer a sheet. Sheets don't have loops. It's now a vilon. Vilonos have loops. Rabbi Akiva Omer Mishi Yikoveya. It's not enough if it has loops. You have to actually put the loops, put the curtain rod through the loops and hang it in the, on the window or hang it over the door. Then it becomes a curtain. Three opinions in how a sodden is transformed into a vilon. The final Mishnah of the 20th Perek, Mishnah Zayin, speaks of a machatzelis. A machatzelis is a large, large mat, which of course has a width. The width, let's say, is dalet amos, so a person can lie lengthwise along the width of this machatzelis. And long, it could be 100 amos. So imagine you want to have a dormitory, a place to sleep for many, many, many people. So you have this long, long machatzelis, a long, long rug, which is divided into small sections, four tefachim wide. And between each four tefachim wide section, there is a kone, a pole. And that it's over and under that pole that the long threads or reeds or ropes of the machatzeles are woven. So machatzeles, so normally, these konim are along the width of this machatzeles. The width is only four amos long. So a person can sleep along the lengthwise along the width of the machatzeles. He's not sleeping on the pole. He's sleeping between the poles. But suppose now, Mishnah machatzeles she'osa lo konim liorko, you made these konim, these rods, these poles along the length, parallel to the length of the long, long carpet or mat. So now if a person is going to sleep along the, lengthwise along the width of the mat, he's going to be sleeping upon a kone. No, that's not the way people sleep. You can't sleep upon a stick. It has to be soft. You can sleep between the sticks, l'rochba, but upon the sticks, l'orka, is not shchiva, tahora, and therefore it is not mekabel tuma. In fact, if the poles are arranged liorka, we know that this mat, this long mat, is not designed for sleeping. It is designed to put as a canopy for a sukkah, not necessarily a sukkah's mitzvah. It's designed as a canopy for a roof. That's why you put the place the konim liorka. So if it's not designed for shchiva, if it's designed for sikuch, if it's designed as a roof, as a canopy, no, it's not mekabel tumas medras. Tumas medras is only there if it's designed for shchiva. It's designed as a bed. So if it's placed liorka, it's tahora. V'chachamim omrim no. V'chachamim disagree. And they say, even if the konim are placed liorka, it still is metame tumas medras. Ad she ya'ase kemin ki. Unless you take these konim and make them like an X. All right, you design them like an X, so you have two diagonal konim crossing all each other. Then the machteles is not royal l'shchiva, because where are you going to sleep? Wherever you're going to go and put yourself, you're going to be sleeping, part of you is going to be upon this konim, and therefore you're not going to sleep well. So if it's X-shaped konim, then it's definitely l'sikuch, not l'shchiva. But if the konim are merely made l'orcha, it is still according to the Chachamim Mekabel Tumas Medris, because who says you have to sleep lengthwise along the width of the machatzeles? Sleep lengthwise along the length of the machatzeles, between the poles. That's not the usual way, but still it can function as a bed if a person sleeps lengthwise along the length of the machatzeles. Suppose Asom L'rochba. He made the poles the way they're normally made, along the width of the machatzeles. But normally there's four tefachim between one pole and the other. So the average person can sleep in the space between two konim, two rods, which are separated by four tefachim. He's not sleeping upon the rod, he's sleeping between the rods. But suppose Asom L'rochba, when he designed this machatzeles, he designed it in such a way that the rods were placed along the width, but They're closer together, the konim. So you can't sleep between the konim. It's too narrow of a space between the konim. Tohor. It's not mekabel tumah. Obviously, this machatzelis was not designed for shchiva. It was not designed to sleep upon, because you can't squeeze yourself between these two konim, which are not separated by four tfochim. Suppose nechlekol rochbo. Suppose the konim are placed the way they're supposed to be placed, along the width, the way they're normally placed, between along the width of the machatzelis. And there is a space between each konim of four tfochim. But nechleka, now it's split. The machatzelis is split down the space between the konim. It's torn apart. No, then Rabbi Yehuda metaher. Rabbi Yehuda says, if it's cut along the width between two of the konim, now the whole machatzelis is going to fall apart, because the tight weave has been disturbed, has been interrupted by being severed down the middle. If it's severed down the middle, the whole thing is going to fall apart. If the whole thing is going to fall apart, holds Rabbi Yehuda, it is no longer a kli, it is no longer a functional machzeles, b'meila, it's tahora, it's not mekabel tumah. The Chachamim disagree, and they say, it hasn't fallen apart yet, person can still sleep on it, so it's mekabel tumah. The Mishnah continues, v'chein, Hamatir Roshei HaMa'adanim. The Ma'adanim are the knots at the extreme end of the length of the Machatzelis. So the Machatzelis is composed of long strands of soft wool, yarn, or guma, soft reeds, or whatever. But at the ends, the extremes, top and bottom of the length of the Machatzelis, those strands are tied together in a knot. And that's what holds them together. Suppose a person opens these knots, matirosh yamadanim, then tahoro. The machatzelis is now no longer a machatzelis, because it's easy. Now really it's going to fall apart. The knots which are holding them together have been undone. So v'chein matirosh yamadanim, if a person undoes, unties the knots which are holding the whole machatzelis together at the extreme ends of the machatzelis, if they are untied, then the machatzelis will easily fall apart, and therefore it is no longer a functional kli, and it is tahora, it is not mekabel tumas medris, or really any other kind of tumah either. Suppose the Mishnah continues, nechlekol liorka, it becomes split down its length. V'nishtayru bo shlosha ma'adanim shel shisha tfochim. But what you have left is three ma'adanim, three of these knots, along an expanse of six tfochim. So you have two tfochim between each ma'adan, you have three ma'adanim, A, B, and C. Two tfochim between A and B. Two tefachim between B and C, one tefach to the left of A, and one tefach to the right of C. Then temeyo, then it is mekabel tumas medris, because it is still possible to sleep along the wide, lengthwise, along the width of this machatzelis. It's something being held together, and the person can sleep upon it. Now the Mishnah concludes. When you're manufacturing a machatzelis, at one point it's simply long reeds or long strings of grass or grassy material which comprise the machatzelis and which are woven into this mat. So at one point they're just pshuta kliyetz, not mekabel tumah. At what point does a machatzelis become a machatzelis and therefore mekabel tumas medris? So the Mishnah says, asks as a rhetorical question, Machatzelis mi'emosai mekabeles tuma. From what point in its production, in its manufacture, does a Machatzelis become mekabel tuma? When does it get its identity as a Machatzelis? Mishatino cave, when its ends are trimmed, because machzelas has loose ends. When those ends are trimmed, that is vehi gemar melachta. That is the final touch of a machzelas. Even though there are still other steps in the procedure, you can polish it and you can paint it and design it. You can make it beautiful, but the basic essential machzelas is done once it's been trimmed. Vehi gemar melachta. So now we have finished our Gemar Malachta, at least another section of our Gemar Malacha, because we've now finished the 20th Perek. We're two-thirds of the way to the end goal, and we have finished the middle section of Maseches Kelim. We finished Bava Metzia of Maseches Kelim. Mi'etz Hashem, tomorrow we will begin the 21st Perek, which is the Bava Basra, the last section of Maseches Kelim. But for now we have concluded Perek Esrim and lesson number 84.